and celebrate the best time of the year.
7:34. I like that music there, and that's good. Very hip this morning. You're just so hip. And, you know, when it comes to talking to hip people, there's just so few that we can talk to that's as much fun as Chris Martin, the millennial evangelical. And, Chris, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Bill. Thanks for having me again.
Yeah, it's that Bill guy again. I know that's what, I know that's what you're thinking.
No, it's great. I've really enjoyed chatting with you. It's really fun.
Thanks. I want to talk about stories this morning, because stories, as powerful as they are, can also kind of distort things for us, because so much of life is everyday routine, and I think millennials in particular love stories, and the more outrageous they are, the more we're drawn to them. But that doesn't necessarily reflect real life, does it?
No, and in fact, I've kind of talked about this before when I've come on the show to talk about Facebook and how reading our Facebook timeline can sometimes distort reality, because Facebook is so good at filtering content and telling us exactly what we want to hear.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing that happens with stories is kind of similar. You know, I wrote a blog post recently called "The Subliminal Deception in Our Obsession with Story," and the basic idea is that I've observed this in myself as I consume stories of people's lives. And I've observed this in others, just in culture in general, as I kind of work in the blogosphere and the social media world. I often listen to a podcast called This American Life, which is the most popular podcast in the world, I think, or at least in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
And they every week is just telling people's stories, and stories that are really exceptional, whether it be about a car dealership dramatically trying to make its bonus threshold, or telling stories about people's exceptional Christmas traditions or things like that. And whether it's that podcast, a TV show you may watch, a movie you may watch, or especially when it comes to reality TV, obviously, if there's anything not real, it's reality TV. But whatever you're consuming, as you consume these stories, they shape your worldview, and you may not realize it. You may listen to the story of someone's life, and it may shape your worldview. And if you don't, that's totally okay, but if you don't realize it, then you can be prone to kind of tripping and falling over yourself and not realizing where the shaping of your worldview comes from. And the thing that we forget is that the reason these stories are stories, and the reason you're hearing these stories on TV or on your podcast that you listen to or whatever, the reason you hear these stories is because they're exceptional. You don't hear the stories of the daily routine, normal things of life. So if you listen to stories or consume stories of people's lives and you let them shape what you think is normal, you need to be careful, just because it may give you a distorted view of reality because they're stories and they're consumable because they're different.
Mm-hmm. Chris, I remember just times when, you know, a missionary would come speak at the church, and to me, there's always these over the top stories that almost would make your own personal walk and life feel kind of dull. Like, you know, he'd be on some missionary on an island, and then, you know, there's only one Bible, and the lion ate it. And as the poisonous snakes were biting him, he put the hand on the lion's mouth and extracted the Bible. And we're going, oh, my goodness, you know, I lead a boring life, I guess, because I'm not trusting God. So what I'm hearing is these stories, as much as they're designed to inspire and to give people encouragement, can sometimes just be backfiring.
Yeah. I think it's good for us to take exceptional stories and extract reality and applicable things to our daily lives from those stories. So if you listen to the story of a missionary who went through, like what you described, some harrowing experience,
mm-hmm.
it can be tempting, and I feel like the default action is to listen to that and be discouraged.
Exactly.
Man,
that's my point.
I'm not living out my faith like I should be.
Right.
Like, I'm not going out and fighting lions and stuff.
Right.
But then I think what we can do, and this takes training, because like I said, this is not the default, is listening to that and saying, what can I apply? Like, how can I apply that in my own life? Well, this missionary was devoted. He was disciplined. He was committed to what he was doing. He worked hard. He or she worked hard. So there are ways we can redeem story, but a lot of times you're right. I mean, it is just kind of discouraging, whether we're listening to how, how often and how much our pastor reads his Bible or a missionary coming back and telling a story of some fantastic experience they've had.
Mm-hmm. Now, are millennials more story-obsessed than people in their 20s two decades ago? I mean, I remember when I grew up in my high school years, in the 4 years I went to high school, maybe I have three pictures of myself from high school. And they're right. all actually pretty good pictures, by the way. If you ever want to see them, just let me know. I'll scan them and send them to you.
That's great. That's great. You should post those on the website just so people can
know. Well, I think I will, Chris. I think I will. But having said that now with Facebook and everything else, on any given night, a millennial can have 30 fresh pictures from what they just did an hour ago uploaded onto their website or onto their Facebook page. And it's like, are we just obsessed with – are they just narcissistic?
Yeah, I think there is a healthy, or I suppose we should say unhealthy, level of narcissism within the millennial generation. I think it's undeniable. I think it's hard for me to say because we're fooled if we think social media is the only outlet through which one may be narcissistic, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, it's an obvious one in which we can be narcissistic. I think 20-year-olds from 30 and 40 years ago were almost certainly narcissistic. They just didn't have social media to display that as much.
Exactly.
So I'm hesitant to say millennials are more or less narcissistic and obsessed with themselves as 20-year-olds 40 years ago. I think it's just more apparent that 20 – I think 20-year-olds, because of the nature of the 20-year-olds – now I'm 25, so I'm not far removed from being 20, and I'm mm-hmm. still too often obsessed with myself. I think it's pretty safe to say that just the nature of 20-year-olds is that they're often going to be obsessed with themselves, and I'm sure that's been true for the last century or
so. No, I'm sure it has.
But Facebook and telling our own story has made that much more prevalent and accessible, and it's I feel like you've hit on something important. It's become easier to be self-absorbed and interested in our own story than perhaps in the past when we couldn't worry about posting to Facebook. We had to go to work at 18.
Right.
So I think whether or not we are more narcissistic, I'm not sure, mm-hmm. but it's easier for us to be. I think it's definitely fair to say it's easier for millennials today in today's especially social media world. It's easier for us to be obsessed with ourselves because we're waiting for people to like our Instagram posts or comment on our Facebook posts or things like that.
Yeah, Chris, I would guess that the cavemen had a short attention span. But they just didn't have iPads, you know. So we just need that to expose ourselves to what's always been there. And I suppose narcissism has always been there. And, you know, sometimes just social media gives us a better opportunity to reveal our true nature at times. But the storytelling is very interesting because a lot of millennials now are looking to have their own story to tell that is just not the everyday get up and go to work and live a life that's faithful and do what God's given you to do. They want something sensational, don't they?
Yeah, there's this term that kind of floats around called wanderlust, and I don't think it's a new term. It may be a new term, I'm not sure, mm-hmm. but it's been used a lot recently. It's called wanderlust, and the general idea is that you're lusting to wander and adventure and do all of these amazing things like the. Like when you graduate from college, like a lot of millennials are, I feel like there's pressure on young people just from their peers, not from their parents or anything,
mm-hmm.
to like have this experience where you go hike in Europe or you go do X, Y, or Z, some exotic life thing, so you can go on an adventure so you can post to your Instagram about it and get a bunch of likes and comments or whatever. It's deeper than that, but that's always what it seems like.
Mm-hmm.
Look at how interesting my life is because I went and did these things right out of college while you were going to your office job.
Yeah, and I don't think that changes as you get older, Chris. I think what happens is as you get older, you go, well, I'm taking that trip to Peru now because I need to be able to tell people at the office that I'm still young and adventurous and doing interesting things.
Yeah, that's certainly possible. I definitely could see that. But there is a millennial obsession with creating not only being interested in my story, but mm-hmm. creating a story worth being interested in.
Ooh, I would almost ask you to say that one more time because that's.
I think. I think among millennials, there's not only an obsession with their own stories, but an obsession and a high interest in creating a story worth being interested in.
Mm-hmm.
So that they'll be noticed and be appreciated for who they are and the amazing things that they've done.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll say it again because I was not brief. Millennials, I millennials are as obsessed with creating a story worth being interested in mm-hmm. as being interested in their story themselves. So I think they're interested in making life interesting.
Yeah. But sometimes the stories that we get obsessed about telling just doesn't really reflect exactly what's going on inside of us either. We're trying to create an imposter that we can show to the world as
right,
well.
Right, exactly.
And that doesn't help us along our spiritual journey at all, does it?
That's not usually.
Really authentic, not very authentic living, is it?
Exactly.
But it sure is fun, and I'm sure for a lot of people, it's just there's so much necessity to be putting content on their social media stuff, Instagram, Facebook, all that, that they're looking for things to add when it's not there.
Yep.
Okay, Chris, we're going to take a break. When we come back, lots more with Chris Martin. It's 7:45, Bill Arnold in studio. We'll be back in a minute. Bill Arnold here in studio this morning. We're talking to Chris Martin, the millennial evangelical. And right before we went to break, Chris, you talked about wanderlust. And I'm wondering, to what degree has that become an idol? I mean, there's a lot of pressure, I think, on kids to have that experience you talk about where you go out and you wander and you travel and you see stuff and you try to create a narrative for your life that... You know, I wonder how productive that really is. I mean, right now in Urbana, that conference is going on in St. Louis where 16,000 students have gathered to basically ask the Lord, how do I serve you? What can I do?
Yeah. I think it's easy to – I think the quote-unquote wanderlust idol is just an extension of making an idol of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Because the wanderlust thing isn't so much a – an entity in and of itself. It's about making our life interesting. So I think a lot of times, and we're really venturing into conjecture here because some people want to travel and do things just because they travel and do things and that's healthy and right. I mean, that's
absolutely.
Not,
absolutely.
You know, that's not, I don't want to say that all traveling and wandering and having an adventure is bad, but mm-hmm. this idea that you're kind of lusting after, you don't feel fulfilled
right.
unless you've gone and done something interesting. I think that's the definition of idolatry because you're finding your purpose and your reason for existing in making your life interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And truthfully, you know what, and what we need to remember and what we need to realize is that following Christ and becoming more like Jesus is the great adventure. It's, mm-hmm. That's the greatest adventure of them all. And a lot of times, what I've seen myself try to do too often and what I've seen among some young people is trying to justify having an interesting personal story because it will somehow benefit God and his story.
Mm.
And a lot of times following after God and participating in the grand narrative of eternity and following after Christ and sharing Christ with others is a great adventure. But too often, I think young people try to justify their quote-unquote wanderlust as some sort of spiritual adventure as though it's they try to baptize their desire for adventure when it's really just they want to have an adventure.
Mm-hmm.
I'm so thankful. I've had so many friends be missionaries and go on missions trips, more friends than I would have expected, I guess, you know, coming out of college. I have friends asking for support going on missions trips that I'm like, oh, wow, I didn't even know you're interested in missions, and I'm so thankful for that. What I hope is that a lot of young people aren't doing missions work just to go have this adventure, but that they're truly trying to share and show the love of Jesus in countries around the world. And that's why I don't know the ins and outs of Urbana, but I hope a lot of the 16,000 young people gathering there are asking the Lord, what would you have of me? How would you tie my personal story into your story for the world and the redemption of all things? And not going to just inflate themselves or make their Facebook timeline look better, if that makes sense.
Uh-huh. You know, the fixations we have on these personal narratives, too, I think has to take a backseat to really what does God want you to do and how do you pour out your life for God? I know that what we've just shared, Chris, is us looking at ourselves and trying to define ourselves in the world, and that's not bad, but it's also important to keep the main thing the main thing.
Exactly, exactly. I think it's really important to find the exceptional in the routine.
Yes, so, I love that.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
So I think it's really important, especially for young people, to find the exceptional in the routine by, like, going to, like, I go to a daily, I'm sitting in a conference room at my daily office job right now as I talk to you. I go to a daily office job every day from 6:30 to 3:30, and I love it. And what I try to do in this time is not just sit at some quote-unquote, like, dead-end cubicle job and waste away for eternity like a yacht of young people see going into the business world, but you take these experiences and you redeem them and you say, how can I live the great adventure that is following Jesus and sharing him with the world in this routine, going to the grocery store, going to the gym, you know, hanging out with my family, my wife, going to work. How do I live exceptionally amidst the routine? And that's what I think young people need to learn, is that you don't need to go on an African safari to live the great adventure. You can do that in the routine, ins and outs of your daily life. Your personal story can be exceptional without being exotic.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we can repeat that enough. I mean, I think that if we can find, I mean, you can bring dignity to any job, and you can live a life for Christ in anything you do, and by doing it with excellence and with passion and everything else. And it does take a, those stories do take a backseat, though, to the big adventures in life.
Yeah, it's impossible to find purpose in a daily 9-to-5 job, and it should be impossible to find purpose in a daily 9-to-5 job. What you shouldn't do is try to find purpose in an exotic adventure either. Mm-hmm. Your purpose should transcend those things, and your purpose should be found in following Christ and sharing him with others. Whether you're doing that on an exotic adventure or sitting in your cubicle, you have to find out how to join in the great adventure, whether you're on a plane to Africa or sitting in your cubicle at your office.
Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have for millennials right now or parents of millennials who are confronted with this, I just getting out of college and I want to go find myself, or I want to go take an adventure? Is there any practical advice?
Yeah, I would say a couple things. One, pray and ask what the Lord would have for you, and truly pray. Don't ask for the Lord to confirm what you already want to do just because you want some heavenly confirmation.
Mm-hmm.
If you have interests, you know, maybe you want to go serve orphans in Russia or something. Ask the Lord how he would have you do that.
Mm-hmm.
Or ask the Lord what he has for you. So I would say, first and foremost, pray. Secondly, I would say it's important to be content with where you are. That's something that I've always had immense difficulty with. I'm a planner, and I'm looking forward all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So often I miss the present for the future, and I'm thinking, okay, what's next? Where can I advance next? How can I do this? How can I do this 6, 8 months from now, a year from now? And often I don't get upset with where I currently am. I just don't appreciate the present for what it is.
Mm.
So I would say, before you go and decide, oh, I want to go on this adventure to Brazil, I would say, hold on, are you going on an adventure to Brazil because you truly are interested in Brazil, or are you going on an adventure to Brazil because you're bored with life and you think you'll find purpose there?
Mm.
So I would say, learn to be content with where you are, and pray and ask what the Lord would have for you. And then after that, walk in what you think he has and what you think is most glorifying to him.
I love we got it back to prayer, Chris, because to me that's where it all starts and ends, and everything in between is through prayer and asking God what it is you'll have me to do today, and not to get too far out into the future, but live for today and figure out a way to make a difference for the kingdom today. My wanderlust involves usually just getting upgraded to first class and having the plane leave on time.
hey, that's a modest wanderlust there.
Yeah. Chris Martin, thanks so much. The Millennial Evangelical, it can be found at millennialevangelical.org or .com.
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 Thanks, man.
Awesome. Thanks. Have a great New Year.
You too, buddy.
All right. It's 7:55, Bill Arnold in studio. Be back in just a minute.